It's estimated that nearly half of all Americans age 50 and older are at risk for breaking a bone. So we're discussing osteoporosis and bone health. Our guest, Dr. Kimberly Mercurio. She's a physiatrist with Dewey Health and Care. This is Dewey Noted, a health and care podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Joey Waller. Hi there, Dr. Mercurio. Thanks for joining us.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
Great to have you with us. So first, what does a physiatrist do exactly?
A physiatrist is a medical doctor who has gone to 4 years of medical school and then at least 4 years of residency training in the care of patients who have had strokes or spinal cord injuries or fractures. And our job is to get the patients functioning to the best of their ability after some sort of injury, or also, as in osteoporosis care, prevention of the injury is also very key to our field.
Indeed, and we'll talk about just that in a moment. First, what, in a nutshell, is osteoporosis, and when and how does it develop?
So osteoporosis is a generalized skeletal fragility in which bone strength is low, so that fractures, which are the same as a broken bone, can occur with minimal trauma, say a fall from a standing height. And so osteoporosis literally means porous bone. If we look at bone under a microscope, bone looks like a honeycomb or a sponge, and the holes in the bone become bigger and the connections between the bone cells become thinner as osteoporosis develops.
Now, research shows that our bone mass is fully developed by age 30 and then starts declining around age 40, even though the effects aren't fully felt oftentimes until later on. So what steps can people take to avoid bone loss before it becomes a problem?
Sure. So bone starts to develop in utero, and it's made throughout our lifespan. And bone mass is developed when we're young, in our childhood years, our teenage years, and early 20s, and bone is remodeled throughout our lives. Bone is a vital, dynamic living tissue, and it's always remodeling. So attaining that peak bone mass in our 20s is very important. And the way that that can be done is by having a good diet during childhood and the teenage years and 20s. Also, exercise is super important, so athletes have been shown to have higher bone mass. And there are many other factors, including adequate calcium and vitamin D, not smoking, because smoking causes problems with the bone. Also, excessive alcohol intake causes an increase in bone breakdown. There are some medications like steroids that do cause problems with the bone and cause more bone breakdown, and also medical conditions like celiac disease can cause a decrease in bone mass.
Now, to follow up on a couple of those things, first, you mentioned that ideally you want to do things in your lifestyle that would help to build up good bone health by the time you're in your 20s. So what if there's still room for improvement when you're older than that?
So again, exercise is very important. So I typically talk to my patients about four types of exercise: weight-bearing exercise, which involves putting weight through the hips and the spine, that would be considered walking or running or dancing or tai chi, playing tennis, going up and down stairs. So that's weight bearing because you are bearing weight through your hips and spine. The next component is progressive resistance training or strength exercises, and those have actually been shown to build bone. So exercises like squats can help to build bone. And if you think of the muscle pulling on the bone, like when one would do a biceps curl, the biceps attaches to the forearm. And when the muscle is contracted, the muscle is pulling on the bone, and a bunch of hormones get sent out to tell the bone to get stronger. So the exercises with weights or with TheraBands or body weight can be very helpful to build bone. Another type of exercise is balance exercises. Balance is very important to prevent falls. So I work with my patients on balance. We test balance and then try to improve it to prevent falls. The fourth type of exercise is postural exercises, to have a good posture to prevent kyphosis, which is the bending forward that you see a lot of older people get. So those spine exercises can improve posture.
You also referenced supplements like calcium. How about from an overall dietary standpoint, what things generally in our diet are good and maybe not so good for bone health?
So calcium is very important in bone health, and 99% of our calcium resides in our bones. So if we don't get enough calcium in our diet, then the bone loses the calcium that is stored there, because the calcium will get pulled out of the bones for our muscles to contract and for our nerves to function. So the recommended amount of calcium is roughly between 1,000 and 1,200 milligrams per day. And ideally, people would get that through their diet in the form of milk, yogurt, leafy greens, fortified cereals, and breads. So a cup of cow's milk has about 300 milligrams of calcium. And so that is a good source of calcium. The other important things in the diet are vitamin D, and that can be obtained through fish like salmon or tuna or mushrooms or egg yolks. So that's a little bit harder to get in the diet. So supplementation is often needed in our latitude in Illinois. Most people are not getting enough vitamin D, especially between October and April. So a supplement is typically recommended. As far as what foods to avoid, processed foods, junk food, just unhealthy food in general is not conducive to a good diet and overall health.
So basically the same stuff that's good to eat and not good, if you will, those are basically the same things that normally apply in most other cases in our life if we're looking for good bone health from a dietary standpoint, right?
Exactly. The other thing I would like to mention is protein. Protein is very important for muscle and bone function. And so we like to make sure that patients are getting enough protein in their diet. Older people are often not getting enough protein. And after a hip fracture, it's very important to get enough protein to help the healing process. So that is very important as well.
So having said all that, doctor, whether it's due to not doing some of the things you advise or just age and what comes with that, in order to check for osteoporosis, at what age should we start getting screened? And what information does that screening reveal, actually?
So the screening test that is used to look for osteoporosis is called a DEXA, which stands for dual X-ray absorptometry, or it's also called a bone mineral scan or a bone density scan. That was first introduced in 1987, and it's a painless scan of the lower spine and the hips and sometimes the forearm. So the patient's bone mineral density is compared to that of healthy 30-year-olds. Basically, the T-scores are generated to compare a patient's bone mineral density to that of someone at peak bone mass. And osteoporosis is defined by DEXA as having a bone mineral density as less than or equal to negative 2.5. So that's 2.5 standard deviations below the average of healthy adult women. There is also a newer development called trabecular bone scoring, and that assesses bone quality, and that is available on some DEXA scanners. So who needs a DEXA? Basically, women at menopause, if there's a family history of osteoporosis, if there are secondary causes of osteoporosis like multiple sclerosis or diabetes or chronic kidney disease or rheumatoid arthritis or overactive thyroid or hyperparathyroidism, among other conditions. Also, anyone who sustains a fracture at the age of 50 or older should absolutely get a DEXA scan. So if a patient sustains a wrist fracture after a fall from a standing height, that patient should absolutely have a DEXA scan to assess bone mineral density to see where their baseline bone mineral density is. All women who are 65 should have at least a baseline bone mineral density test, and men at the age of 70 should have a baseline bone mineral density test. Men, as most people are not aware of, are also victims of osteoporosis, and 20% of my patients are men. So it is important to get the word out that men also do get osteoporosis. They get it at a later age than women, but they do also get osteoporosis.
Now, you mentioned there a number of things geared toward women, and we should point out that data shows women are, in fact, at far greater risk than men of developing osteoporosis and bone breaks. Why is that?
Well, the main reason is the loss of estrogen at menopause. With the loss of estrogen at menopause, women lose an average of 2% of bone mass per year in the 10 years after menopause. So that significantly decreases the bone mass and increases risk of fracture.
Now, of course, along with a loss in bone mass and what comes along with that is the increase in risk for falling. So what safety measures can be taken to try and prevent falls and reduce the risk of broken bones, whether it's because you have an underlying health issue that's affected your bone density, or maybe you're just getting older?
About 95% of hip fractures are due to falls, and 50% of spine fractures are due to falls. So if we can just prevent those falls, we can prevent a lot of fractures. The ways to prevent fractures include improving balance. So working on balance is important, and I test balance in my office with patients. We also have physical therapy that is available for patients to work on their balance and challenge them to improve their balance. People can try to stand on one foot while brushing their teeth to see if they can improve their balance, and that involves activating all of the foot muscles, leg muscles, and core to keep stable while you're standing on one foot. So that's one way. Another way to prevent falls is to get rid of the clutter in your home and minimize tripping hazards, because falls can happen very quickly. I recommend using the handrail on the stairs and installing grab bars in the bathrooms if patients are at that point in their lives. Also wearing glasses when needed. Wearing good supportive shoes is important. And another aspect that I discuss with my patients is clearing the path from their bed to their bathroom at night, because patients can trip over anything in the way. And I've had numerous patients fall at nighttime by tripping on something at night. So all of that is important. Also slowing down, just being cognizant of falls and slowing down to prevent falls.
And so, doctor, in summary here, what's your overall message to those listening about warding off osteoporosis before the fact with that early prevention through some of the measures we've discussed?
So in summary, osteoporosis is an undertreated and underdiagnosed condition. And I want to make sure that patients understand that we have very good treatments now. We have at least 8 medications that are available to treat osteoporosis. They involve oral medications like alendronate, which can reduce fractures by 50% over 3 years. We also have some bone building medications that help to build bone in patients who have had a recent fracture. So knowing that there are good medications, there are good prevention steps that we can take. And also, I'd like to emphasize that if a patient has a fracture, we'd really like that to be their only fracture. We'd like them to get evaluated and then treated appropriately for osteoporosis so they don't have that next fracture. We'd like to capture the fracture and then have them not sustain another one.
Well, folks, we trust you're now more familiar with osteoporosis and how to ward it off. Dr. Kimberly Mercurio, thanks so much again.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
And for more information, please visit DooleyHealthAndCare.com. Again, that's DooleyHealthAndCare.com. Now, if you found this podcast helpful, please share it on your social media. I'm Joey Waller. And thanks again for listening to Dooley Noted, a health and care podcast.